our Lord returned to heaven. He called his disciples or apostles to an upper room. It was there that he washed their feet. It was there when he predicted that one would betray him. It was there that he spoke of his coming departure. It was there when he spoke those beautiful, immortal words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Our Lord promised those anxious, sorrowing apostles that as sure as he went away, he would come again. Now, what kind of coming is that? There are those that say that when a person dies, that's the second coming of Christ. There are those who say that when Jesus went away and said, "I will come again," he was talking about Pentecost. When the power of God came and the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, that was his second coming. No, no. In Acts 1:11 it says, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Our Lord was going up to heaven, ascending back to the Father. And the disciples looked up and saw him, and they gazed into heaven, when suddenly two men in white apparel, angels I think, came and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner." And just as sure as I'm standing behind this microphone this evening, Jesus is coming again. Just as sure as he went away, he's coming again. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Not the Holy Spirit, not death, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now, this coming is going to be a surprising coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, the apostle says he's coming as a thief in the night. In Matthew 24:44. It says, "In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." It's going to be a sudden coming. For in Matthew 24 and 27, it says, "As lightning from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." In 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our Lord is going to come." I need not go into the sermons of past Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. I need not go into the discussion about Russia and her allies. I need not go into the discussion about China, Japan, Egypt, England, United States, Babylon. I need not go into that except to say what I have said in review time and time again in recent days. I believe the coming of our Lord certainly must be very, very soon. I do not see how this world can stand much longer. And if you have any confidence at all in this preacher or in this church or in the Bible, you will get right with God soon. I mean like soon. I mean like tonight. Jesus is coming soon. Now, there are several things that point to the soonness of his coming that we do not study about a great deal. For example, astrology. The study of astrology. In Matthew 24:24, I read, "False Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders." Did you know that 20 years ago, did you know only 10 papers in the United States carried prediction as far as astrology is concerned? Only 10. Did you know now over 1,200 papers carry the forecast and prediction of the future according to the stars? Our Lord said in the end time that astrology will increase, and that astrology is increasing. I'm simply saying Jesus is going to come. If you're not saved, in God's name, get saved. If you are saved, then let this hope purify yourself. The Apostle John said, he that hath this hope within him, what hope? The blessed hope. What hope? The coming of our Lord. What hope? The coming of the Savior. What hope? The imminent resurrection of the body. What hope? Seeing Jesus at any minute. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, get it out. Jesus is coming soon. If you have tonight beer in your icebox, or liquor at home, or dirty magazines, or filthy books, or dirty rock music that magnifies everything except that which is decent, if you have in your heart bitterness, if you have some skeletons in your closet, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In God's dear name, make it right before he comes. But that isn't all. There's a second prophecy. I believe that the common market, the European common market, is a definite preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. The European common market is a unit of 10 nations. They are Norway, Ireland, Denmark, Great Britain, Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg, West Germany, France, and Italy. Now, those 10 nations form what is the European common market. The United States News and World Report magazine of February 7, 1972 stated, economically, the unit rivals America. Politically, it is on the threshold of world power. The European common market might be the revived Roman Empire prophesied in the Bible. It holds a close relationship to prophecy from the books of Daniel and Revelation. A world empire is predicted in the Bible. The Bible says that there will be a world empire in the end time. The Bible says that world empire will be composed of 10 nations and 10 kings. The Bible says in the end time that it will be, probably we think, the revived Roman Empire. Did you know the boundaries of the European common market are almost exactly the same boundaries of the old revived Roman Empire? Did you know that the European common market has been increased in recent days from 6 nations to 10 nations, making it the 10 kings? It could be representing the 10 kings. Let me read you again something. U.S. News and World Report magazine states that the European common market is, I say again, on the threshold of world power. Today's Living magazine, January 1st, 1973, declares the European common market to be a third world power rivaling the United States and Russia. We're seeing right before our eyes prophecy fulfilled. The Bible says the Roman Empire shall be revived. The Roman Empire is being revived. The Bible speaks about the 10-nation United States of Europe. There is a 10-nation United States of Europe. I'm saying once again, if you have any confidence at all in this preacher or in Bible students around the world, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to come soon. In God's name, prepare for his coming. But there's something else I want you to know about it. When he comes, he's going to divide the people. In Luke 17:36, it says, one shall be taken and the other left. I'll just say that two folks will be driving down the street. One shall be taken and the other left. Two folks will be asleep at night. Perhaps the wife taken and the husband left, or the husband taken and the wife left. Two folks be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. Who's taken? Those who are born again. Who's taken? Those who have been saved. Who's left? Those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and have not been born again. Those are the ones that are left. Now what's going to happen? Can you feature for a minute what will happen? Let's suppose that here is a pilot in an airplane, and he has some passengers behind him. And the pilot, suddenly Jesus comes, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, the living rise to meet the Lord in the air, the voice of the archangel, the shout, come forth. And the dead in Christ come forth, and all the living saved rise to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Think about the airplanes that will crash to the ground. Think about the trains that will run wild off down the track, and then when they come to a curve, will plunge into some a gorge or some valley or in the side of some mountain or into some tunnel somewhere. Think about the cars on the expressway when Jesus comes again, and all the people driving cars should be called up who are saved. Should be called up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Think of the wrecks. Think of the tragedy. Think of the heartache. Think of the people missing. Think of the mother and father getting up in the morning and coming in to say good morning to a 6-year-old child who's been saved. The child is gone. The mother says, where is the child? Where is Susie? Where is she? Where is she? The father says, I don't know. They call the police, but the line is busy. They call for the Hiles, but he's gone. They call for the Fisk, but he's gone. They call for their Helton and say, Brother Helton, where is my child? And he says, but anyway, He says, I'll fly away, old glory. But where's the child? And you'll call the newspaper and the lines will be clogged and the headlines will say, multitudes missing, and the radio stations will say, multitudes missing, and they'll interrupt television programs to say, we bring you a special report, something has happened to millions of people in the world. Every city under heaven, people are missing, and hundreds and thousands of folks are missing in the Hammond area. In Chicago, tens of thousands of folks are missing. Wives have been taken from the beds with husbands. Little children have been taken from mother's laps and mother's arms. Husbands have been taken and left wives. And offices have been cramped, and cars are wrecking on all the expressways, and the L trains are crashing and coming off the overpasses, and airplanes are crashing at O'Hare Field, and people have been missing. Oh, what is it? What is it? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. Jesus has come, and you've been left too late, too late, too late to be saved. Oh, in God's name, one should be taken and the other left. It may be soon. I think it will be soon. Every Bible teacher I know, or 99% of the Bible teachers I know, think that Jesus Christ is going to come very, very soon. But there's another reason I think he's going to come soon, not just because of the European common market, not just because of astrology, but because of knowledge and travel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, in the end time, many shall run to and fro. And that's what's going now. The cars and the airplanes and the trains, many shall run to and fro. It also says that knowledge shall be increased. Did you know that 90%, now get this, 90% of all of the scientists that have ever lived since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden are alive tonight. Knowledge shall increase. 90% of all the scientists since Adam and Eve are alive tonight. There's another sign I think we've not mentioned a great deal, and that is the sign of crime and violence. Crime and violence. In Genesis 6:13, it says that in the days of Noah, the earth was filled with violence. And in Matthew 24:37, it says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me give you some figures. Did you know that violence in America, crimes of violence are up 47% since 1967. That's in the period of 5 years, 1967 to 1972. Violent crimes are up 67%, and the population's only up 5%. In 1972, in America, 46,430 forcible rapes were committed, up 11% over the year before, and up 70% over 1967. Get this. Of 43 out of every 100,000 females in America has been raped. 43 out of every 100,000 females in America. Burglaries in 1972 were up 46% over 1967. Get this. Last year alone, 61,800 police officers were assaulted and 112 were killed in America. The Bible says that violence shall increase. Violence has increased. The Bible says knowledge shall increase. Knowledge has increased. The Bible says many shall run to and fro. Travel is absolutely beyond comprehension in our day. The Bible says Roman Empire be revived. It is being revived. The Bible says it'll have 10 kings. There are 10 nations in the Roman Empire. The Bible says Russia will fight Israel. Russia is against Israel. Have you noticed how Japan seems to be turning toward the Arabs now and toward Russia, because Japan gets all of her oil from the Arab countries? She has no other choice, seemingly. I mentioned the other night that Japan would certainly turn and be on the side of the East, on the side of China, on the side of Russia, on the side of Egypt. I say again, all the nations in this world that the Bible says will line up are lined up exactly as the Bible prophesies it. If you've got anything you plan to do, you better do it. If you plan to get saved, you better do it. If you plan to serve God, you better do it. If you plan to give up some sin, you better do it. If you plan to get busy for God, you better do it. You better do it. I mean, Jesus is going to come. I think it'll be soon. But there's still another thing we do not mention very often. And that is something that's very prevalent in our nation, and especially in all of the world for that matter, and that is demon worship. Did you know in 1 Timothy 4:1 it says, in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. In the latter days, what will happen? Some shall depart from the faith. What else? Giving heed to seducing spirits. What else? Doctrines of devils. What else? Demon worship. Let me give you an idea. Did you know, for example, that that there are 100,000 people in the Satan worship cult in America. Halloween, the night before Halloween, I was in Watertown, Wisconsin. I had had some refreshments at the home of Dr. Cederholm, the president of the college there. After the refreshments, I went back to my room, turned the television on to get the midnight news. And the first thing I heard was, this is Halloween, October 31st, isn't it? And it's Halloween. And they said, we start Halloween just past midnight on this station from either Milwaukee or Madison, Wisconsin. It was a nationwide thing. And they said, we're going to have a Satan worship program on this television station. And at midnight or 12:01 Halloween morning, I saw on the television station channel in my room in the motel, I saw a worship service worshiping Satan. I saw a young female who said she was a witch. The Bible says it happened. Don't you be surprised. There's a church of Satan out in California where on the altar a nude lady lies and where they have all kinds of sensual... Don't be surprised. The Bible said that's a sign of the end time. Satan worship. Notice, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, says the Bible. And let me just give you a few other statistics about the same thing. Did you know, for example, that in Time magazine, it says there is a world revival of Satan worship in our generation. In Great Britain, there's an epidemic of Satan worship, and there are 3,000 professed witches in Great Britain alone. In Germany, called the Land of the Witches, there's a great revival of Satan worship. 10,000 witches, professed witches in Germany alone. In the United States of America, did you know that over 8,000 witches are here in our country? What does it mean? The Lord said demon worship would prevail. The Lord said they'll worship the devil. And they are worshiping the devil all over this nation. Did you know right here in our church one day, some of the teenagers in our church, and I would not dare give any clue at all as to who they were, but we found some teenagers in our church going to a certain room and using that room and having a little mock service of Satan worship right here in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. It's a wonder God didn't kill all of them. It's a wonder He didn't do it. I'm simply saying that this kind of fad of worshiping the devil, this kind of fad of demon worship, God said He would come. You better look up, brother. Ah, you person that came to church tonight with your wife, but you come home and you get drunk every night or every weekend. You lay around in the taverns and nightclubs and dens and no thought of God and never have taken time to get born again. Look up, look up, look up. Jesus is about to come. In God's name, hit an old-fashioned mourner's bench while there's yet time and prepare to meet your God. You folks tonight who live without thought of God and only come on a novel service like this. You folks tonight who've never taken time to be sure. I'm talking to some folks tonight in this building who got baptized when you were a baby and you think you're saved. If Jesus comes, you'll be left and others will be taken. I'm talking about talking to folks tonight in this room who got confirmed when you were a child in some Easter service or springtime service or Lenten service. And you think you're going to heaven because of that. That's the only hope you have, my brother or sister. When Jesus comes, you'll be left while we're taken. No, you won't be taken when Jesus comes because you belong to a church. You won't be taken when Jesus comes because you've been sprinkled as a baby. You won't be taken when Jesus comes because you've been confirmed. No, you won't be taken when Jesus comes because you take the sacraments. And by the way, you won't be taken when He comes because you die and some fella comes with some wafers and the Holy Eucharist is taken on your behalf, and folks have a prayer meeting and pray for the dead. If you're going to pray for anybody, brother, you better pray for the living. The dead have already settled their eternity and sealed their destiny, and it's too late. I'm simply saying, don't you listen to somebody who says, get baptized and be ready. No. You get born again. That's the way you get ready for the coming of Christ. There's no other way in this world. When our Lord comes again for His own, He's going to come for those who've been saved, not those who've been taking the sacraments. He's going to come for those who've been born again. Not those who've been baptized. He's going to come for those who've been saved, those who've been converted, not those who've been confirmed. Our Lord's going to come for those who come to a place in their lives where they say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve to go to hell, and I know that Jesus, the Son of God, took my place on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin, and I trust Him as my Savior. I say, blessed friends who are saved and unsaved, be saved. Jesus may come before tomorrow morning. I'll be honest with you. There have been many times in the last few weeks when I had been surprised, to wake up and find myself still in bed. I have several times in the last few weeks been stunned beyond measure to wake up in the morning and find the rapture has not yet taken place. I will come again, Jesus said. As he went, so will he come again, the men in white apparel said. And he gives us signposts. Oh, you say, preacher, nobody can know the day and the hour. Now, I know a lot of folks say that they say that, and so that means that there are no signs that point to his coming. That's not true. That's not true. Listen to me. The Bible likens the coming of Jesus Christ to a woman having a baby. Let's see. Anybody here expecting a baby? Raise your hand if you're expecting a baby. Where are you? I want to see a hand somewhere. In the choir? Where? Over here. All right? Yes. Yes, you are. except I'd like to differ with you. You're expecting some babies. But let me ask you this. What day is it going to be born? Huh? No, but what day? You're sure December 15th is it? But you're dead sure. Doc Streeter, where are you? Doc Streeter, is it going to be, huh? He's not here tonight. Okay. Then Doc Streeter doesn't know unless it's going to be Caesarean. He doesn't know. But personally, I think it ought to be an American. But anyhow, he doesn't know. Let's see, what hour of that day is it going to be, you know? I see. Then you don't know the date of the hour. Let me ask you a question. You know what year it's going to be? This year. You know what month it's going to be? December. Okay. Now, you get the idea? I've got news for you. It's going to be sometime between the 6th month and the 13th month. I mean, it's going to be, you don't know the day or the hour, but you can tell about when. Sure you can. First time you decide you want pickle instead of biscuits for breakfast, you can be assured. About the time you want watermelon for a midnight snack, and then you want watermelon for breakfast and for lunch instead of hamburgers. About the time you want on your hamburger, you want cantaloupe on your hamburger. Then you can. And about the time that every pickle, you can't pass by a pickle jar, you become a pickleaholic. And then you can rest assured within 9 months something's going to happen to you. You know the day? No. You know the hour? No. Jesus said you don't know the day nor the hour, but he did tell us about the time when our Lord's going to come. And I think this is about that time. Oh, my soul, my soul. There's another one. And that is in Matthew 24, verse 7, it says that there be earthquakes in divers places. Did you know that there are 50,000 earthquakes a year felt in this world without even being showing, without the instruments being used? 500. Did you know there are 1 million earthquakes a year, and 50,000 of them can be felt without the need of instruments? In Turkey, in Los Angeles, a little lady sat in my office the other day and described the awful earthquake in Los Angeles. She said, I have never felt anything like it in my life. She said, I couldn't stay on the bed hardly, and furniture was moving. And I tried to hold, and she said it was a few minutes, but it seemed like it was hours. The Bible says in the end time, earthquakes. I say again, are you going to be left when Jesus comes? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That little girl will bury tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. 10 years old. Little Leanne Stanley. Who went to heaven just a few days ago. If Jesus comes tonight, that little body is going to rise from Boken Funeral Home and rise to meet Jesus in the air. And that dear brother we buried yesterday, Mr. Alley, will rise from the cemetery and meet our Savior in the air. And Mr. Lemon, whose body is over at Boken Funeral Home now, will rise to meet the Savior in the air. And my two little sisters, whom I've never seen, whom my mother hasn't seen now for these long, many, many, many years. I guess it's been, I'm guessing that it's been 60 years since Mother buried her second little girl. That's 55 or 60 years. and those little girls shall rise and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory, and all of us who are saved shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. But there are those in this room tonight who would be left. Stop for a second and think how it's going to be. Huh? You come home from school in the afternoon. You're not saved. Mother! Hey, Mom! Mom! That's strange. She's always home. Hey, Mom! I declare. It's the first time I can ever call Mother not being home. I better call her best friend. Hello, this is Susie. Listen, have you seen my mama? No. No, I haven't seen her. But mama's gone. She's gone where? And then soon the husband comes home. And, hey, anybody home? Just me, Daddy. Where's your mother? I don't know. I came home this afternoon about 4 o'clock. Mother wasn't here. Hey, maybe she's gone. No, I called. I called everywhere I could call. I don't know where she is. And they stand and wait. They call and call. They call the police department. And they say, is Sergeant Miles there? And Sergeant Miles has gone up too already. And finally somebody answers and says, my wife is missing. And my daughter says she'll know where she is. Think of it. Think of it. Think of it, if you would, please. Some of you men not saved coming home at night. And there's a little wife who's prayed for you. She's asked the Christian people to pray for you, and you've always said no. You didn't like the old church, and you didn't like the old hollering preacher, and you didn't want nobody to tell you how to live, and you didn't like that money-grabbing preacher and folks trying to get their hand in your pocket all the time. You dirty, lying hypocrite, you heathen, you Christ-rejecting infidel, you hell-deserving person, you wicked, vile sinner, you. God's going to judge you for not trusting His Son. You ought to thank God you have a little wife that prays for you, a church that cares for you, a little daughter that says they come by my office every Sunday and say, pray for my daddy. You'll come in for work someday. Or wake up some morning after a night's sleep. And you'll say, where's everybody? Hey! Where's everybody? There'll be no answer. You'll walk into the crib in the room where that little baby lies. Little baby, 6 months old maybe. And you love to take the little baby and say, ride little horsey, London town. Ride little horsey, going downtown. Ride little horsey, don't you fall down, little girl. You like to say, patty cake, baker's man. Patty cake, fast you can. Roll them out, foam in the pan. And she maybe she says, about to say, dada. Really, she doesn't. She says, blah, 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 blah. And you just know that's dada. Because for the 9 months you're expecting the baby, you stuck your head down the barrel and said, daddy, so you could hear how it sounded echoing out of the barrel. And you go in and you want to see the baby. But the crib is empty. The crib is empty. Oh, my. Where's the baby? The baby's gone. And the mother's gone. You call the preacher and say, Brother Hiles, is Brother Hiles there? Mrs. O'Brien will say, no, he's gone. And that's what she always says, isn't it? But he's gone. And no Christians here. And then so you walk out in the street, and then you'll see other men walking out in the street too. Hey, have you seen my wife and my daughter? No, haven't. Have you seen my wife and my daughter and my son? No, haven't. Hey, folks, my wife and daughter are missing. Have anybody seen them? No, I haven't seen them. They'll gather. And then somebody will say, uh-oh. One night I heard about an old-fashioned service at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I thought that'd be a good night for me to go and slip in because nobody'd see me in the dark. And I sat back in the back. And the preacher got up and told me about Jesus going to come again. Do you reckon? Oh my. My wife used to talk about she hoped he'd come soon. And she used to hang on to me and say, sweetheart, I want you to be saved because I want you to go with me when he comes. Oh my. Is that what's happened? I'm going to call the preacher. He's gone. I'm going to call the staff. They're gone. I'm going to call the Christian radio station. They're gone. I'm going to call our friends. They're gone. And you'll be left. Left to spend eternity without God. Left to cry and scream in the torments of hell forever and ever and ever. Oh, my precious friend, if you do not know, you're saved. Know tonight. Know tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. May I just say a few words kindly and not preacher-like, just as a friend now. And I'll close. Honestly. Honestly. Do you know that you're ready for His coming? Now look, don't pull the curtain down and refuse to listen. Look at your own heart. Look and see what you see there. Do you know it? How about it, kids? How about it, moms? How about it, dads? Do you know it? Now then, let me ask you this question. If you do know it, are you ready as a Christian? Would you be glad to see Him? Are there things you ought to forsake tonight before our Savior comes? I hope you will. The old-fashioned services are built around the glorious truths of the coming of our Savior in the clouds of glory. I preached over last Friday night at a black church in Chicago, and I told the story how that when I was a young preacher, I used to go preach to the black folks every Wednesday night, and all the times we had, the old-time religion. We had these kerosene lamps and lanterns. We used to clap our hands and shout the praises and blessing of God. The old-time religion. I'm glad I got to grow up in a little place that had a churn. I'm glad I know what a churn's like. I'm glad that I smelt the smell of kerosene. We called it coal oil. Coal oil is good for something besides just using in a lamp. Did you know that if you have a bad cold or a sore throat, if you'll take some coal oil and put it in the sugar, you'll be sick at your stomach? That was our penicillin when I was a kid. How many ever took coal oil and sugar? I'll go a step further. How many ever took turpentine and sugar? Huh? Hey, got a lot of hayseeds here, haven't we? But I'm glad I know what it is. I can see my mother right now sitting and reading her Bible by an old-fashioned kerosene lamp. And I can hear her singing, "Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar if you'll brighten the corner where you are." I can recall my mother going out to the well and getting water out of the well. I can recall my mother churning and singing as she churned. I can recall my mother ironing from a flat iron. I can recall my mother using curling irons to curl her hair. I'm not saying we ought to go back to the churn. I don't want to. I believe I'd rather just go ahead and use the margarine. Buy the buttermilk at the store. I'm not saying we have to go back to the kerosene lamps and lanterns. Did you ever leave one of these lamps off a little bit? Or did you ever turn this thing a little wrong and then the ceiling got all dirty and filthy? I don't want to go back to that. But I wish we had the old-time gospel we used to have in churches that had lamps like this. I'm not saying we ought to go back to the old-fashioned mourner's bench. I don't think these quilts down here make the service any better. But I wish we had the Spirit of God on us that we had back in the days when we had the mourner's benches. I'm not saying we ought to go back to the old-fashioned pump organ. I'd rather have the electric organ Mrs. Colston plays. But I wish we had the old Spirit of God that they used to have when we had the old pump organs. The amens and the hallelujahs and the praise the Lord's and the confession of sin and old leather lung preachers. I don't think I ought to go back to the number two tub. I don't want to bathe in a number two tub. To be quite frank with you, I haven't got time to bathe in an ordinary tub. But I don't want to bathe in a number two tub. I don't want to go back to old P&G soap. And I don't want to go back to the dipper. I don't want to go back to the wash pan. I don't want to go back to the old-fashioned coffee grinder. But I wish we had the old-time gospel we used to have. Why don't you tonight look in your heart and say, am I really ready for Jesus to come? Am I really ready for Jesus to come? For over 2 years now, I'm sorry, for over 3 years, for over 3 years now, when I get up in the morning in motel rooms across the country, I go to the window, I open the curtain, and I look up and I quote the scripture in the Psalm 17, verse 15, "Dear Lord, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. Are you ready for his coming tonight? Do you know you're ready for his coming? If he came tonight, would you rise to meet him in the air? Or if you would you be ashamed to meet him at his coming? Let us pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, in some sweet way, take the feeble words we've spoken tonight, with unable to even see the scriptures hardly, or unable to see the outline. Take the feeble words we've spoken and go way back in the crevice in the corner, back yonder in the darkest spot of the building, and convict somebody. Oh, God, speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I know, if Jesus came tonight, I'd rise. Wait a minute, don't raise your hand yet. No one leaving, please. Now, I want you to be honest. No, it's dark. No one's going to see you. I can't see many of you. And I can't see who you are if I can see you, except a few I know well. How many of you would say, Brother Hiles, I know. I'm born again. If Jesus came tonight, I know. I'd meet him. I know that. I know that. I'm saved. I know it. I have no doubt. I'm not trusting some sprinkling as a baby. I'm not trusting some ordinance. I'm not trusting some church membership. I'm not trusting some confirmation service. I'm trusting the fact that I've been born again, and I know it. I know it. Yes, I know it. And if the trumpet of the Lord should sound and time would be no more, and the morning would break eternal bright and fair, and the saints of earth were gathered over on the other shore for the Hiles, I know I'd be there. Lift your hand, would you please? Way up high. You know it for sure. Keep your hand up with heads bowed. Now, if your hand is down, may I lovingly entreat you to consider Jesus. Oh, beloved friend, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. Thank you. Drop your hands, please, with heads bowed. Now, would you be just that honest again? How many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, for I do not know that if he came, I'd rise. I wish I did. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to sing, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. In that day, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I want to know it. Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. First, on the main floor, if you'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me, I want to know that I'm ready for Jesus to come. Pray for me. Lift your hand way up high, and fellas, you'll help me, please. On the main floor, just raise your hand way up high, and I'll see it. If you raise it way, way up high, God bless you on the front. God love you, fella. God love you. Who else on the main floor would say, pray for me? I want to know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm ready for his coming, but I wish I did. Raise it way up high, on the main floor. Lift it way up high. God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Lift your hand way high on the main floor. Way up high. Wave it a bit if you have to. Yes, God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I don't know that if Jesus came, I'd meet him, but I want to know. Lift your hand way up high, please. God bless you. In the balcony up here on my left, that's the east balcony. I think I can see you if you raise it high enough. You'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Lift your hand, would you please, in the east balcony. Lift it way up high. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you. Way back in the back. I see you. Amen. Who else? Pray for me. I don't know. I'm ready for his coming. Pray for me. Lift your hand, would you please. Lift it way up high. How about the center balcony? The center balcony. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you, little lady. Who else in the center balcony? Would you say, pray for me? I'm not ready for his coming. God bless you. The balcony on my right, would you lift your hand and say, include me in this prayer? God bless you, lady. God love you. God love you. That little child in your lap needs a mother that knows she's going to heaven. Who else would say, pray for me? Pray for me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for all of these. Oh, God, tonight, speak to their hearts. May they get ready for the coming of the Savior. Oh, make it so. Now our heads are bowed. In a moment, the choir is going to sing. I want the choir to sing his invitation tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. John Newton wrote that. John Newton became such an alcoholic, he was a vegetable. He took the shoes off his own baby girl and sold them. She was a, by the way, he starved her to death and took the shoes off her dying body and sold them and bought liquor with it. But he got saved and wrote, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we sing it, I'm going to ask you folks that raised your hand to come to the aisle. Down the aisle of the front. I'll meet you right here in the middle in the front. I want you to leave the balcony and come. I want you to come in the center balcony. Way back in the back of the left balcony, the east balcony. Down here on the front of the balcony on my right, I want you to come. Down here on the front, I want you fellas to come. And I want the little lady to come. I want the girl to come. I want the teenager to come. I want the woman to come. I want you to come and receive Jesus. Best thing in your life you will ever do is prepare for the coming of the Savior. If tonight you're here and you're not saved, you come. If you have been saved and have not been baptized, you come for baptism. If you want to join an old-fashioned gospel-preaching church, you come and transfer the membership. If you just need to pray at the altar and say, "Oh, God, tonight, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee," you come and kneel at the altar. If you're coming for salvation, baptism, or membership, I'll meet you at the front. Shall we stand, please? Shall we stand? Father, speak to our hearts. Do it, God. Do it. No one is leaving, please. As the choir sings, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Slip out from your seat wherever you are. Come to the nearest aisle and down the aisle to the front and make your decision for God tonight.